How you guys doing? Well? All right, cool. We're finishing the series on what's the recipe. I know we've been on it for a while, but with a final thought on presentation. I know you guys thought it was done when we did dessert, but no. We've looked at so many different recipes over the course of the past 3 months, which is how long we've been doing this, that I know it's hard to keep it all together. It's hard to know, okay, remember one to the next, to the next, to the next. I completely get it. It's a challenge to keep what you learn here in your mind in the days and weeks ahead, right? A lot of people say that 50% of you will forget what's said by the time you reach your car door. So if I ran out to your car door after this and be like, what did I say? You guys would be like, Well, it's funny because I challenged my students that were in my cabin this, and I and Matt's like, he's nodding his head. I went to them and I said, tell me, what did the camp speaker speak on today? The first night, they were like this. And so I was like, okay, well, and I kind of ripped them a little bit, didn't I? Didn't I, Matt? Yeah? He's like, yeah. I said, you know, you're not here just for games. You're not here just for worship. You're here to learn. And in order to do that, you have to engage. So this is a pass. Tomorrow, I'm going to ask you the same question, and I want some answers. And they were like, okay, all right, all right. So then I walked in and I was like, hey guys, and they were standing at the ready. I mean, I don't know if they discussed it before I walked in, but each of them told me something different that the camp speaker had said. They basically recited back the entire lesson to me. I was so proud. I was like, these are my boys, yes! I was extremely proud. What it showed me was is that you can do it, that we can do it. We just have to place some emphasis on that. So with that being said, we're going to talk about presentation. It's all in the presentation. We love presentation, and it's most widely cherished, what, in ourselves, let's be real, and in our food. And so we're going to kind of look at both of those things today. We can go to a fancy restaurant, right? And we're like, I'll take the steak. And they're like, not a problem, sir. And then this little itty-bitty, like, bite of steak comes out. And it's on this plate that's, like, this big. It's huge, right? And what do? There's, like, this little plate, but they push out, push, push. It's like a New Wave painting with all the sauces, and they're all different color on the stark white background of the plate. Now, the restaurant is about the taste, but initially, it's about the presentation of that. So, keeping with that, I want to show you guys some pictures, not yet, but I want to show you guys some pictures of presentation versus actual reality. Now, some of you guys might have seen this. You're like, oh, I've seen it. Don't disengage. Don't you dare disengage. But others of us, I'm willing to bet almost every single one of us have experienced this in some way or another. Roll them. Let's see them. We're going to go. Okay, so this is Taco Bell. Look at that taco. It's so good with all the cheese on top and all the meat. How many people take that first bite and every piece of that meat falls out of that taco? It's gone. And then you're like scooping it up and basically becomes nachos after the first bite. This is the most attractive angle that they've photographed it of. Okay, let's move on. Jack in the Box taco. This is one. We've all been there, right? The cheese is like hanging out the side. There's sauce all over it. And then you get this greasy mess. Oh my goodness. Largest pair of four purchases, as they say there. Okay, keep going. Oh my gosh. Okay, so the Whopper Jr., we're going to load it up. And then you get this thing, you're like, what? And they slightly fluffed it up. So they're like, come on, little guy. You can do it. You can make it. All right, keep going. Let's go to the next one. This is the big Whopper. Oh my gosh, that thing looks like it's been through the ringer, that poor thing, right? Okay, let's go to the next one. Is there another one? Yeah, there we go. This is the last one. The Big Mac, right? They always show you, this is the Big Mac. It's like this big, you know. There's all kinds of stuff, right? Many of us could probably sing the song. The presentation doesn't match the real thing. It rarely ever does. Did you know that there are people whose sole job is to create a presentation of food for menus? Like, that's what they do. They go out and they're like, okay, we're going to picture, you know, we're going to do this. And you know, so if it was a burger, they'd be like, all right, check it out. Okay, we're going to get the lettuce and we're just going to put the lettuce in front. So, you know, the frilly part of the lettuce. And so that sticks out. And then we're going to get the ripest tomato. And then we're going to put that on there. And then we're going to totally spray it so it's all glistening like we just, you know, picked it off the vine. It's going to be amazing, right? That's actually what they do. They actually have, a while back, there was like a reality show where these people would come in and they would just present food. It was crazy. It's crazy the time and effort that it takes to going in and presenting this food like this. If you go on YouTube, you can find this guy that walks in and he orders the Whopper and he orders these things. And when it comes, he's like, well, hold up. And he pulls up a picture. He's like, I want it to look like that. Can you do that? And they're like, well, this is what we do. And they're like, but this is what you say you do. And so they go back and then they try to make it and it still doesn't quite come up to par. But in these pictures, sometimes the food is real, but sometimes it isn't. This is fake food. It's like when you go over to your buddy's house, right? Or your friend's house or your parents' house and they got that, you know, you're like, walk up, you're like, dude, I'm so hungry, an apple, yes. And you grab it and you're like, fake apple, how dare you with this thing? It even looks like it's wet because it's all, no, it's just fake. It's exactly what happens. Either way, what we see in the picture and what is staring us in the face are two very, very different things. On most cases, the false presentation will set an expectation that will ruin the real thing. Every once in a while, my wife and I will go to Jack in the Box. It's probably my fast food of choice. You know, people have Carl's Jr., McDonald's, whatever. Mine's Jack in the Box. And lately, we've gone a little bit too much, I must admit. But when we go there, I love to get the bacon potato cheddar wedges. I don't know if you guys have ever done it. Probably should. They're totally addicting. But what happens is when you walk to the menu, the box shows this box of wedges, and the potato wedges are busting out of the box. Like, there's so many. The cheese and bacon awesomeness is poured all over the top, touching every single wedge. It is so amazing. So, many times I'm intrigued, and I'm like, oh, I want those. Give me those. Okay. But what comes out is so different, okay? The wedges are stuck together. There's probably like 10 in there. You know, they're all the way at the bottom. There's 10 in there. There's a pool of the cheesy bacon awesomeness off to one side, leaving like 5 or 6 poor wedges bare and out in the cold. And at first I was enraged that my wedges weren't perfectly covered. I'm like, I don't want to have to sit here and mess with this. Like, I'm mad. How dare you? And then but I kept ordering them in hopes that maybe they would come as, you know, and I kept ordering and ordering. But you know what? In my many trips through the drive-thru, something magical happened. I started liking those wedges just like they were. I started figuring out how to eat those wedges. I'd go for the bare ones out in the cold first. I'd eat those first. And then I'd eat the ones that just have a little bit next. And then I'd dive into the ones that were just like, you couldn't even see them because they were buried in the cheesy goodness. It was actually better than the picture. But let's take for a moment and apply that to us as Christians. A lot of us seek to put on a front like we're more spiritual, we're more mature than we really are. We put on this mask and wear it as though it's an accurate representation of who we really are. It's all fine and dandy until the real person rears his head, right? Listen. We are the tacos. We are the Whopper. We are the wedges and all of our cheesy, greasy, bacon-filled awesomeness. That's what we are. And we present something different, and people see that, and they're like, oh, I don't want that. But you know, as well as I do, you go to the Whopper and you go to the wedges because you like it that way. And if it wasn't presented to you falsely, you probably still would have bought it. Hey, we got 3 wedges out on the side, but then these last 3 are going to be slathered. You like it? Yeah, I'll do it. So we present something that's not really what it is. We show people one thing and then they get another. However, what if we told people just how much of a mess we were? Then they'd know exactly what they were getting. No surprises. James 1:26 says this. If anyone thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue but deceives his heart, this person's religion is worthless. Bridle your tongue. Now, most people will think that of that in like gossip and slander and foul speech, right? But what if it was just in how you talked about yourself? What if it's just that you weren't being real with what you were going through? Flat out lying about how you feel and how you are. Man, some of us, we want to be perfect. I get it. But we create this alter ego that is perfect. When I'm here, hi, hey, I'm perfect. Huh? And then all of a sudden it rears its ugly head. And what does that do? We refuse to acknowledge that person. We acknowledge it to ourselves. Hello, we created it. We know who we are underneath. But to everyone else, we refuse to acknowledge who that person is. But what happens when a non-believer sees this? James hit the nail on the head. They're like, you call that religion? I don't want any of that. I don't. I've invited many people to this church. I'm like, hey, you got to come see our church. It's amazing. You know what they tell me? I don't want to go to church. It's filled with hypocrites. And that is a statement that I would overwhelmingly agree with, right? Like we're always like, we're filled with hypocrites. We understand this. But listen, we're under scrutiny here. I mean, we fail to remember that we're under a microscope, right? The world can be, you can be out in the world and be a hypocrite and you're locking arms with people and you're like, yeah, we're hypocrites. This is fine and dandy out here, but you come in here and do it. And then people go, no, I don't want that. I don't want that. We're not real. When we're trying to bring people into this community, we're trying to bring people to God in some small way that He uses us to do that. And we should just show them and present ourselves exactly who we are. Man, I'm broken. I'm flawed. I'm messed up. But you know what? I'm redeemed. And I'm loved. And I'm cherished by my family, by my community, and by the one that really matters, by God. I remember when my wife and I found out that we were pregnant. Wait, let me rewind that. When my wife and I found out that she was pregnant with Josiah, we sat and we laughed. We're like, I can't believe. And then we're like, what are we? And then we cried. And then we laughed again. No, don't get me wrong. Josiah, he might be a little bit of a terror, but he is a good kid. He's a really, really good kid. But you know what I found out? It felt like it took 10 times more effort to go from 2 kids to 3 than it did to go from 1 to 2. I was walking around. I can't speak from her perspective, but I was walking around with this calm exterior. But inside, I was freaking out. Like literally freaking out. And he's only 5, so that wasn't that long ago. Okay, I was thinking to myself, how am I going to make it through the day? Like realistically, how am I going to actually do this? There's a great comic. He had a line that I resonated with so well. It just describes me. He said, do you want to know what it's like going from 2 kids to 3 kids? He said, try drowning and then having somebody throw you a baby. That's how it was for me. I was like, blah, 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 blah. What is this? Right? Like my wife and I were outnumbered. Like we used to be able to play man defense, right? We were like, oh, you, and then all of a sudden we had to switch to a zone. We're like, what is this? Like, ah. Some sports people will understand that one. It's the truth. I had a pretty good exterior, but inside I was freaking out. Listen, I wasn't handling my wife like I should. I wasn't handling my kids like I should. And I sure as heck wasn't handling myself like I should. I was putting on this front like everything was okay. Like everything was perfect. I mean, to be honest, I was in sin, flat out. I was lying. Just, oh, everything's fine. Yeah, everything's fine. Lying to everyone. I'm going to reiterate something in case you haven't heard it before, but it says Romans 3:23, and it says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Now, don't connect these and think that I'm advocating sin in any way. Obviously, I'm not. We must understand every one of us have sinned. We're all flawed, but guess what? We're in it together. Like we're all in this together with each other. It's okay to not put on a front and be who you really are. It is okay to do that. It doesn't mean that you don't strive to do better. I mean, my motto is make tomorrow better than today. That's like my motto. And I believe it's true. This life is a journey and we shouldn't try to be farther down the road than where we are. We got to embrace the journey, embrace where we are and say, you know what? I'm going to continue to put one foot in front of the other and walk and push forward. I advocated this before, that we're honest with each other, that we're transparent and we're open with each other. We talk about our faults and seek guidance and encouragement from one another. We're a family. And that's what it's about. But it's past the time for us to be doing that. We need to step up and actually start acting like it. And in order to do that, we have to be honest. James 5:16 says this, "Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working." Whoa, whoa, whoa. Pray for one another? Wait, wait. The first part says, confess your sins to one another? Are you crazy? No, you read that right. You know, we have a couple over here every week that stand at the ready, waiting to pray with you, waiting to pray for you. This is where it gets kind of harsh. So I apologize. Sorry, not sorry. You've heard that? That if you're thinking that you don't need it, you're lying to yourself. You don't have it that much together. Neither do I. To say, I don't need anybody to pray for me. You don't have to go to God on my behalf. I'm good. No, you're not. Yes, you do need that. Let's be real with each other for a minute and just talk to each other about our sin. It's not easy for me to stand up here and tell you that I wasn't treating my wife right and I wasn't treating my kids right and I was lying out here just saying, oh, well, I'm fine, everything's fine. That's not easy for me, but I know it has to be done. I need to be transparent with you so you trust what I'm saying. You trust what I'm telling you, and I want the same for you. Why don't we confess to each other and pray with each other? No judgment, no scorn, just love, right? We find it hard to be real with each other, but I think this point needs to be emphasized. I really think we need to hit on it a lot, and I do. I hit on it a lot because I really believe it needs to be emphasized. And we can be real because, hey man, I'm just as messed up with you. I struggle with sin. I struggle with self-esteem. I struggle with not following God all the time and not giving him every area of my life. I'm not going to sit up here and tell you that I have everything in the bag and everything's good. No, I struggle. Okay, well, what are you called to do? You're called to bear my burdens and mine yours. The other way around. So, what are we doing? What are we really doing? If we present ourselves as having it all together, then we do no one any favors, including ourselves. We're not doing anyone any favors. So let me ask you a question. Is it loving or is it love to present yourself to someone not truly as you are? Answer, you have to answer that question. Would you think it's love? Would you think it's loving to do that? 1 Corinthians 13, 1-3, I love this verse. It says, if I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing. I love this passage because it says that no matter what we do, no matter the amazing things that we do, if we're not doing it in love, they're worthless. They're meaningless. Listen, let love fuel what you need to do. Let love fuel your honesty. Let love fuel your transparency. Let love fuel your desire to open up to people. It can, and it will. If you let it. So I want to switch gears a little bit. So we talked about presentation and things. Well, I want to switch to appearance, right? Because we talked about food and kind of how we are as Christians, but I want to talk about appearance. Now hold on and track with me as we go through this, because the world says there's a definition of beauty, right? We've seen it. It's on TV shows and magazines, and they stick it in your face and they say, measure up, people. Measure up. Go ahead. How you doing? And we find it hard to do so. We've talked about presentations and food at restaurants, right? But what about when we're getting ready and the guy's ready in 5 minutes? He's just like, yeah, I got some jeans and polo on. Fine. Maybe even a clip-on tie if he's feeling fancy. When the lady's like, well, I got to have my shoes to match my dress, dress to match the color of lipstick, lipstick to match the thing I'm going to put in my hair, and then and everything has to be perfect, right? Why is that? Why is that? Is it because of the perception? Is it because of the presentation? Perception is an interesting thing, and I always tell people, and if you've been around me enough, I've probably said this, that perception is reality to those who do not know any different. So that means if I'm looking at Jacob and I'm like, Jacob's mean, and Jacob doesn't like me, he hates me, then if I don't talk to him or we don't communicate, then that is what I believe that Jacob is. Do you understand that that means it's truth to me? That my perception of him becomes a reality, even though he's not like that at all. You're not like that at all, dude. I promise. But that perception is reality. So what about in the sense of people? What does perception count for? You know, I know there's a saying that we've heard, and they made it into a slogan, but it's you never get a second chance to make a first impression, right? It was a deodorant commercial, I believe, right? And there was this guy walking around, he had sweaty armpits. He's like, oh, no, I don't want to have a, you know, I can't go up to this girl because I have sweaty armpits, and this is my first impression, and they'll never look at me the same. But the problem is we've taken that, and we've, like, adopted it as our motto. We're like, yeah, of course. You never get a second chance to make that first impression. You better do it. You better do it right. So we look our best and we try to measure up, but what are we really measuring up to? The world's definition of beauty? It's skewed. I'm telling you, it's skewed. So I want to show you a couple pictures, and I want to show you exactly how skewed this definition of beauty is. Let's roll up the first one. Okay, so, wow, pretty girl. Okay, so let me tell you some of the things that have happened to this photograph. Number one, her face has been airbrushed to be perfect. Her eyes in Photoshop have been enlarged, so they're not even her real eyes. Her mouth, as you notice, she doesn't have any teeth, they're gone. Her lips have been changed. Her hair has been changed. This was all done in Photoshop. They didn't come in with a team of people with makeup and put all this on her. No, no, no. This was all done in Photoshop. So what you have on your left is a real human being. And what you have on the right is a drawn picture. What? This, they're telling you guys, that this is beautiful. A drawn picture that is not reality. This is beautiful. Let's go to the next one. Angelina Jolie, oh gosh. Okay, so one side, this side is the real Angelina Jolie. This side is the photoshopped Angelina Jolie with her wrinkles taken out, the dark circles under her eyes removed, and her skin perfect as the day she was born. And they say, measure up. And I know a lot of people think Angelina Jolie is beautiful. She's a beautiful woman. So they try to measure up. To what? You can't. Not unless you paste a piece of paper to your face. You can't do it. Let's go to the next one. Penelope Cruz. Wow, look at this one. This really shows you something, right? She has no wrinkles on her face at all. This lady's in her 40s. No wrinkles, please. Okay? They Photoshop it to look perfect. They Photoshop her skin to be perfect. Perfect tan that she wants. Oh, that's going to go with everything. They even highlighted her hair to make it look better. I'm trying to tell you guys, the world's definition of beauty is that which is physically unattainable. Ladies, you want that perfect skin and those larger-than-life eyes? Well, that's exactly what they are. They're larger than life. Listen, if you saw somebody walk up to you that looked like that, you'd be like, hey, ho, how you doing? Like eyes roll. It's not going to look right. But for some reason, we're like, this is beautiful. This is what we're going to do. We cling to the unattainable. That's exactly what the world wants us to do, try to reach for the impossible, spend the money on the clothes and the makeup. Now listen, and please hear me out. There's nothing wrong with spending money on clothes and on makeup for you ladies. There's nothing wrong with that. But we have to understand, buy it with the understanding that inherently you are just the way that God wants you. And that those things that you put on in His eyes do not make you any more beautiful than you already are. Period. End of story. It says in Ephesians 2:10 that you are God's masterpiece. You're His masterpiece. You know, you're going to go to the Mona Lisa and start drawing lipstick on it? Well, that's just, no. You're even better than that. You're a masterpiece. 1 Samuel 16:7 says this, "But the Lord said to Samuel, do not look on his appearance or on height of his stature, because I have rejected him. The Lord sees not as man sees, for the man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart." Man, listen, that God looks at your heart and He gives a value to you and a beauty to you that no one can take away. Period. Nobody can ever take that away from you. No words, no pictures of photoshopped people could ever take that away. So listen to me very closely. God does not make mistakes. He never has, and He never will. So be you. Be real. Be transparent and honest. Understand it's in the presentation, but not showing who you want to be or where you're going, but who you are right now. Real and honest. Embrace the journey. Understand that you're not there yet. You won't ever get there. Neither will I. But we're on a journey and we're in this together. Those dreams and aspirations you have, let those people into your life so that they can encourage you and motivate you and lift you up. And when you start succumbing to what the world wants for you, they look at you and say, "You don't need that, because this is what God says about you." We need people in our life that will be honest and real with us when we're slipping and when we're falling away in that matter. Don't show the unbelievers of this world that Christians put on a front and never show who they really are. Remember, we're under a microscope. Plain and simple. Let's show them that what they believe religion is worthless. This front where everybody comes in and puts on this fake face, and that is worthless, because it's not about that. It's about a relationship here and a relationship here. They don't know that. I'm telling you, they don't know. Show them how God can love a flawed and broken person just like you and just like me. The body of Christ, that's what we are. We're a bunch of sinners, a bunch of messed up people, all in this together. Let love fuel your passion for honesty and your passion for His people. Let's pray.